Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary at Mary's Hill, Contemplative Divine Most Cynical. And this is the ebook series. And we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. The School of Mary Invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more, the spirit of faith, hope, and love, the spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. And as we do each and every day, we thank you, Most Holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it's a joy to be together again. Grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. You know, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth. I was just having a quick chat with Rose before the cynical began today. And, you know, how do we know God's will? What's God's will? Well, I think God demonstrated that already with his creation of man through Adam and Eve. That's the perfection. That was his will. That is his will. And his will be served when we return. When we go back to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we were created by God, the prelapsarian heir of Adam, back to Adam just before he sinned. God allows that because of quantum physics, I think it's called. Think about how a cartoon is made. You know, it's multiple pieces of paper, right? Sheets of paper, and it flows quickly, looking like one continuous motion. God has the ability to go back, to take us back to that point, that millisecond, that nanosecond before Adam sinned, to take us back there and to do what Adam didn't do, to do God's will. And he says it'll be as if Adam never sinned. So it's the greatest do-over in the history of mankind. It's a schoolyard do-over, hence the kindergarten, one of the reasons why we call it the kindergarten of the divine will. We're without Maureen today. Again, she had some family obligations, and that's, of course, understandable. In fact, our Blessed Mother gives us the antidote to that. You know, Jesus says we have to give up everything, even holy things, to make the divine will the presence in our life. But our Blessed Mother says in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 22, she says, quote, "My child, the divine will is intransient, unchangeable, and desires all, even sacrifices in the holiest things, but always according to the circumstances." So, family obligation, when there's no one else to do it, you must perform. It's like, for example, if one person is manning a soup kitchen and there's dozens of people depending on that food for their life, to sustain their life, you don't leave the soup kitchen to do something else, even if it may be more holy, because that's your obligation, that's your responsibility, and people are depending on you. So our Blessed Mother gives us the way out without offending our Blessed Lord, and then without not complying with what our Blessed Lord wants to do. I just want to throw that in there. We know that we're the cog. We are contained in the cog. The master cog, of course, is Christ. And God has chosen, as he states, a select number of people to know him intimately, to be engaged with him. And again, this is God's good pleasure. This is nothing that was merited. This is nothing that's been earned or deserved. And it's important, it's vital, because if these souls don't connect and receive this intimacy, the other cogs will have no life. And we're talking spiritual life here. So a lot's riding on this. And what Adam did, he sinned and he stopped. We stopped the transfer of grace. We stopped the transfer of power of life and thus could never be passed down. So we need to go back, re-engage. And again, he's only selected a few, very few, to know him intimately. And we have the book of heaven. So it's a pretty good assumption to make that he wants us to know him, to love him and deserve him. And if you want to read more about the cog and how it represents the divine will, that's found in volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. We don't have time to read this tonight, but I highly recommend you you look at that. If you're joining us for the first time, we do have a few joining us for the first time. Everything that's on the screen today will be copied and pasted onto our website, queenofthedivinewill.org, and it'll be found on the page entitled Seneca Blog page, Seneca Blog 2, the number 2, if you want to reread, print out, or use it for your Seneca. A lot of Senecas are using Father Annuzzi's dissertation for the crux, the nucleus of what they're discussing. In fact, I joined the Holy Trinity Divine Will Group in Ireland on Thursday, yesterday, for a wonderful, wonderful session, and they're using the dissertation. I mean, you can't go wrong. Think about it. You know, Father Celso, among others, tells us that we really should have, could have, and would have, if God so wills it, a priest to help us. Not because we can't journey without a priest, but that's not true. But when we had that clarification, that ambiguous situation that we need a definitive answer on, that's where we really need a priest. And again, not every priest, because not every priest knows the divine will or wants the divine will. But I think until that day happens, if that day is going to happen, we have a plan two or plan B, and that is to use Father Annuzzi's dissertation, which has abrogation. It has approval. It's been proven to be correct by the Gregorian University, authorized by the Holy See. And Father takes all of Luis's writings. He's translated it all. He gives us a summary on the main points of it. And then he drives us into the volumes to show where it's corroborated. And corroborated by whom? By the master teacher, by Jesus himself, or by Mary, and many times in the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom. So again, everything is here. It's been approved. And again, very safe way to journey. Not the only way, but a nice safe way to journey. And like I said, we know of about six groups that are using it, including the Holy Trinity Divine Will Group in Ireland. And I look forward to joining them again next week. Okay, so we're now on the human will, submission, and freedom. I'm going to bring out my pointer because I need all the help I can get to keep me organized. Okay. And I didn't cough in your ear. Okay, this is 5.2.8.3.1 found in the dissertation, and it's entitled The Human Will's Submission and Freedom. We could just stop there. The human will, you know, a lot of times we talk about the human will, about giving up the human will. And sort of like a play on words, we don't really give it up. We don't give it away. On the contrary, I think it was St. Augustine that said our human will is probably the most vital thing we have, because it allows us the opportunity to elect, to defer our human will for God's most holy divine will. It gives us an opportunity to make a choice. And without the human will, we wouldn't be able to make that choice. We would be, in essence, robots, right? God would have created us to love him, to serve him without thinking, automatically. But that's not love. That's not true love. God gives us the opportunity to know him if we want to get to know him, doesn't force us. He gives us the opportunity to love him if we want to love him. And then he gives us the opportunity to serve him if we want to serve him. And we've learned, you know, through those three elements of our catechism, to know God, to love God, and to serve God. We now know through the explication, Article 66 of the Catholic Catechism, that that goes further. It now encompasses, what does God want? God wants us to possess him. And that's why we need to go back to the order, the place, and the purpose which were created by God, the prelapse and heir of Adam. We're all going back. We're moving forward, going back. We'll play on words there. We need that fun. We need that some joy. Okay, so we're going to begin with here. Augustine, St. Augustine's affirmation that God's grace aids in disposing the will to continuously submit itself to him so as to continuously persevere in the good of God's will. is predicated on the definition of the Council of Constantinople III, which states that in Christ, the human will is compliant. It is compliant. It does not resist or oppose, but rather submits to his divine and almighty will. So we hear something here that perhaps is contrary to our understanding. The human will really isn't compliant when it's out of order, like us. But in its perfect mode, in its perfection, in its creative position, it's compliant because it knows that God's divine will is the best for us, but rather submits to the divine and almighty will. And Father gives us a footnote here, which is number 149. Now, Father only gave us, on the footnotes, he gives us two things. He either gives us the title or the source of where it came from. Like, for example, it'll be like the chapter or the date, or here, Augustine's Psalm of David. And he won't give us any verbiage, only because he decided not to take or extract a piece of it out. He'd rather us read it in its entirety. So there was nothing here, but I went, did a little research and found the Psalm of David. And he's referencing two, which is, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes or causes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Okay, but we can go to the top of that first. Let's lead into it with number one. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. So speaking about reconciliation, how important. In fact, Father Celso just the other day mentioned again, reminded us how important it is to go to confession. Again, not to be a doom and gloomer, but we don't know how long we're going to have the opportunity to go to confession in the mode we have right now. So to use it to the best of our ability really is prudent. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes it's not a priest available, or we can't get out, or there's other confinements. So we can do a spiritual communion, which Pope Francis says is acceptable as long as we do get to a priest as quick as we can, or as soon as we can. So blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity. God didn't give us sin. God didn't create us in this plan B that we live in right now. And whose spirit there is no deceit. That all came with the fall. So we need to be pure. We need to be made spotless. That's what he's doing through the divine will. If we're fusing with Christ and allowing Christ to lead our lives, not live our lives, but lead our lives, he's not going to lead us into iniquities. He's not going to lead us where we don't belong or what's not good for us. So again, that election of the human will, that deferment, that a choice that we have, is so vital. And that's why it's so important and so beautiful that God gave us that human will that we may exercise and choose to elect God's most holy divine will. It's a choice. He doesn't force us. He doesn't force us. But he gives us every reason to believe him, to trust him, and to love him. And if we do any of those three, we're going to elect to do it. And then comes the problem that even if we want to do it, we have difficulty doing it, or we have difficulty maintaining it. And that's understandable. We're human. We're weak. We're fallen. We're broken. That's why God promises to give us the grace and graces necessary to maintain that position. We need to voluntarily elect to be there. We need to desire to be there. And if we do desire, he's going to give us, he says he'll fill all the voids, all the absent spaces. He'll do it for us. He'll give us the grace. And let me rephrase that. He's always been giving us the grace. He'll give us the understanding on how to utilize the grace, how to perfect his grace. And we're not perfect, but through God, he's going to make us perfect like we were. So that's Augustine. That's footnote number 149. Okay. Back up to the top, and second paragraph is, In so much as this teaching applies to the will of the human nature that Christ assumed and redeemed, it applies to the will of all the redeemed who, by such acts of submission, dispose themselves to obtain, not of their own effort, but by the power of God's gratuitous grace, the continuous cooperation with the divine will, and as Augustine puts it, the state of perfect liberty or freedom. That's beautiful. Just think about that for a moment. By our own effort. But we don't do any of this that's being done to us. We desire it. We follow a few simple instructions, some guidelines. And God's doing the hard work, the difficult work. Our Blessed Mother's doing the difficult work in us and through us. We can try to do this on our own all day long, every day, and probably make no progress at all, or very little at best. This is impossible. We cannot go back without God. And God's showing us the way, the how, and the why, as to why we should go back, why we need to go back, why it's not only important for ourselves, but for all mankind, which includes our families. Now, nobody wants safety, comfort, and reassurance than our families. We want that for our families, even if they're not journeying in the divine will with us. But they don't have to. They don't have to. We can do it for them. That's why it's so powerful, the axe and the rounds and the fusing. Fusing first, fusing the axe and rounds. Because it'll affect all souls, past, present, and future. Again, this is a dimension we're not going to grasp, but I don't understand how it works. But God says we don't have to know how it works, just that it does work and that He is doing it. Again, it's that trust. Jesus, I trust in you. He knew we'd have to be repeating that often. I mean, we can be reading the volumes or anything to do with the divine will, and almost every moment say, Jesus, I trust in you. Before I start wandering off saying, how is this possible? Or can this be? You know, these little doubts that creep up. Jesus, I trust in you. You say it's going to be done. I believe it's going to be done. I don't know how it's going to be done, but I trust you. But I know it's going to be done. That's really the position. And there's really, if you think about it, that's a very comfortable position to be in. There's really no worry with that, in essence. Goes on to say, Luisa reaffirms Augustine's teachings on submission and freedom when stating that in its act of submitting or resigning itself to the divine will, the soul takes the first step towards God, who immediately communicates to it his treasures of grace. We'll stop there for a moment. So Luisa reaffirms Augustine's teachings on submission. Again, we're using our human will to submit it to God's divine will. That's all we're doing. When stating that in its act of submitting or resigning itself, resignation, another great word we can use, we're resigning from our will. The soul takes the first step. God waits for us to take the first step. Not because he thinks this is a game, but he has to know we want. He's not going to force us. He's not going to force us. He waits. Remember, to know God, to love God, to serve God, and now to possess God. He's putting us back into what we're supposed to do. He's leading us back. Because again, if we know God, it's very easy to love God. And if we love God, it's very easy then to serve God. But it really has to be in that order to be fully enacted. So he waits for us to make the first step. And then he responds. then he responds beyond our fathom. And the more we continue to respond, the more he continues to give. When the soul takes the first step toward God, who immediately, not tomorrow, not next week, immediately communicates to it his treasures of grace. What are these treasures of grace? He says we're going to be given unheard of graces, never before given graces. We just know we're going to be given tremendous graces. What they are specifically, we really don't need to know, honestly. So let's go to footnote number 150. So just to bring us up to that, Louisa reaffirms Augustine's teachings on submission and freedom when stating that in its act of submitting or resigning itself to the divine will. And that's footnote number 150. And this comes from volume 6, November 8th, 1905. The first step to enter the will of God is resignation. The soul who is resigned to the divine will comes to make of God her favorite food. After I struggled very much, he came for just a little and told me, "My daughter, it happens to the soul who resigns herself to my will as to someone who, drawing near a beautiful food in order to see it, feels the desire to eat it. And as his desire is excited, he begins to enjoy that food and to transmute it into his flesh and into his blood. Had he not seen that beautiful food, the desire could not have come. He could not have experienced its taste and would have continued to remain on an empty stomach." Now, such is resignation for the soul. As she resigns herself in her very resignation, in her very resigning, she sees a divine light. And this light dispels what prevents her from seeing God. And as she sees God, she desires to enjoy him. And while she enjoys him, she feels as if she were eating him in such a way as to feel God himself all transmuted into herself. Therefore, it follows that the first step is to resign oneself. The second is to desire to do the will of God in everything. The third is to make of it one's favorite food. Daily, the fourth is to consume the will of God within one's own. But if one does not take the first step, he will remain empty of God. That's probably a sentence we want to copy and keep with us as a gentle reminder. And, you know, there's so much behind just the words. You know, we hear the fathers talk about the language of heaven. You know, the language of heaven is not a different vernacular. It's not like French and Spanish and Tagalog. It's a meaning. It's a spiritual meaning behind the words that God is using just in order to convey to us what he wishes to give to us. Therefore, it follows that the first step is to resign oneself. The second is to desire to do the will of God in everything. The third is to make of it one's favorite food daily. The fourth is to consume the will of God into one's own. But if one does not take the first step, he will remain empty of God. It's methodical. It's simple. If you think about it, first step is to resign oneself. I can't do this alone. I can't do this at all. Help me, Lord. Lord, I've been introduced to the divine will. I desire all that I hear about it. The third is to make of it one favorite food. This is what I want above all, even giving up holy things like we read about in the beginning. with Maureen having to do her family duties. Make it one's favorite food daily. Constancy. He talks about constancy throughout the volumes. The fourth is to consume the will of God within one's own. He uses, a lot of times our Blessed Lord uses the human anatomy, the digestive system, as a simile to how we digest spiritual food. He calls it the first bread. He mentioned here that as to someone drawing near beautiful food in order to see, okay, so once we see the food, in essence, our digestive operation begins with the sight of the food. Right? Our salivary glands start to become creative. Our enzymes and acids are being released slowly in the stomach, preparing for what's to come. And as we see, we desire. And then we start to chew. And we chew because when we chew, we're getting the full flavor of the food, the texture of the food. We're understanding what we're eating better. Then we swallow. And then we digest. And when we digest, the nutrients of that food, hopefully as nutrients, permeates throughout our body and goes to our cells. You know, we are what we eat. Same with the spiritual. We see it or hear it. If we're disposed, like we all have been, if we're here today, we've been disposed. We've been given a mystical gift to recognize something out of the ordinary here. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. It's a Friday night. But the key here is every day. Make one's favorite food. Make it one's favorite food daily. Because it's like that homily I heard several years ago. Priest said, you know, the Catholic faith is like riding a bicycle up a hill. Once you stop pedaling, you're going to fall. So we have this tendency like a automobile out of alignment. If we take our hands off the steering wheel, it's going to drift. And it's going to drift probably towards sin or towards something we're not supposed to be gravitating close to, but we need to keep straight, and that's every day. But then Jesus said also that, you know, this is the way it is in the beginning. In essence, we have to make it our nature. And how do we do that? Well, we do something often, habitually. We make it a habit. And then it'll become our nature. And then it'll become second nature. We won't have to think about it. And then it'll eventually become us. It's an evolution. It could happen quickly, I guess. It could happen over years, I guess. Or it could never happen at all, I guess. But that's really important, I think. Therefore, it follows that the first step is to resign oneself. We have to say, Lord, I can't continue to do what I'm doing. No matter how good we think our lives are, without the divine will, it's really nothing. If you don't believe that, read Psalm 73. For those without God that have a lot of things, they're going to wake up one day as if everything was a dream. It'll all be gone. God will never be gone. So that's footnote number 150. That's a really good one. Okay, back to the board. And next footnote is number 152. Okay. As noted earlier, for Louisa, resignation is the virtue that disposes the soul to receive the will of God in four steps. As noted earlier, for Louisa, resignation is the virtue. It's a virtue to be resigned. That disposes the soul to receive the will of God in four steps. Let me see if I have the four steps. I gotta mess everything up here, but okay. Can everyone see that? I hope. Okay. Four steps to living in the divine will. First one is desire, which admits us to the gift. The second is knowledge, which advances us in the gift. Third is virtue, which we're constantly exercising throughout this journey, which anchors us in this gift. And four is life, living it, applying it, which actualizes the gift. So these are the four steps to living in the divine will, not by my design, but by what our blessed Lord has given us. Okay, I'll put that on the, that is already on the website under the page Divine Will Visual Aids, but I'll also include that on the blog page just to make it easier. Okay, so where am I now? Okay, that's 152. As noted earlier, for Louisa, resignation is the virtue that disposes the soul to receive the will of God in four steps. And that's footnote number 152. I lost my pointer. Okay. And this comes from volume 6, November 8th, 1905. Can we just read this? The first step to enter the will of God is resignation. The soul who is resigned to the divine will comes to make God her favorite food. We just read this, didn't we? Time out. I'm losing my mind. Oh, that's it. Okay. Okay. After I struggled very much, he came for just a little and told me, my daughter, it happens to the soul who resigns herself to my will as to someone who, drawing near a beautiful food, we just read this, didn't we? Oh, we'll do it again. Feels the desire to eat it, and his desire is excited. He begins to enjoy the food and to transmute it into his flesh. See, we talked about that, you know, once we digest it, it permeates and goes into our cells and we become, you know, we are what we eat, into his flesh and into his blood. Had he not seen the delightful food, the beautiful food, his desire could not have come. He could not have experienced the taste. It would not have continued to remain on an empty stomach. Now, such is resignation for the soul. As she resigns herself, in her very resigning, she sees a divine light. That's important. This is a light that exists, but is visible to very few. Again, we see it not because we're special, probably on the contrary, but because God has given us a mystical gift in order to recognize this gift as the end all. As she resigns herself, in her very resigning, she sees a divine light, and this light dispels what prevents her from seeing God. It sort of unveils God. Everything is veiled, covered, hidden. Not because God's playing hide and seek with us, but because when Adam sinned and lost the connection to God's most holy divine will, fell from grace, it's like leaving a mansion with nobody there. You cover up the furniture with sheets. Everything's veiled. Everything's covered. Now we're have the opportunity to go back into that mansion, but we've got to see what's there if we want to. Take the cover off the chair. Take the sheet off the couch. What's there? What's blocking us from seeing what Adam enjoyed? And she sees God. She desires to enjoy him. Well, again, we know God. We love God. We love God because we get to know him. And while she enjoys him, she feels as if she were eating him in such a way as to feel God himself all transmuted in herself. Therefore, it follows the first step is to resign oneself. The second is to desire the will of God in everything. The third is to make it one's daily food. Again, we just looked at the chart. Daily, the fourth is to consume the will of God within one's home. But if one does not take the first step, I think, which is the crux of today's program, he will remain empty of God. So that's really important. Okay, 153. I think that's where we're supposed to be. She further relates that once the soul has resigned itself to God's will, it begins to live in the divine will, whereby the Trinity operates in the soul with the fullness of freedom. I guess there's only two ways we could live, if you think about it, in God's most holy divine will or outside of it. Just like there's only two places our soul is going to reside forever, either in heaven or in hell. So there's only two places. So 153, she further relates that once the soul has resigned itself to God's will, it begins to live in the divine will, whereby the Trinity operates in the soul with the fullness of freedom. And the fullness of freedom is 153. And that is note well from Father Anuzzi, as noted in section 4.1.2.1.4, which I didn't copy and paste, but you may want to go back and look at that. Luisa describes the reality of doing the divine will as that of being resigned and conformed to God's will and of submitting oneself to his orders. On the other hand, she describes the reality of living in the divine will as that of submitting to its dominion, which she also refers to as perfect resignation. Now, there's a whole chapter in Father's dissertation regarding doing the will of God and living in the will of God. And it's beautiful. And in fact, if you look in the back in the glossary, if you want to just take a subject at times, you can just look up any subject. It's got quite a bit, like communication. It'll have maybe 24 passages where you can go back and get information on what Jesus spoke about, how he spoke and what he spoke to Luisa about that particular topic. So that's what's here. So again, doing the will of God and living the will of God sounds very similar, but Jesus says the difference between the two is as great as night versus day. It's as great as heaven versus earth. So I guess he's trying to explain to us it's huge, the difference. There couldn't be a greater difference between the two, even though they sound alike. As you see, footnote number 154, this is that example that I explained, that I mentioned, that Father did not take, he didn't give us an excerpt of a passage. He just gave us the entire passage. So he's expecting us and asking us to read volume 16, December 8th, 1923, on footnote number 154. And that comes into to here. So we can go down to the bottom now. Here the soul continuously and without interruption is perfectly receptive to the Trinity who freely operates within it. And that's the footnote number 154. So again, to explain that, the operation of the Trinity, volume 16, December 8th, 1923. So here the soul continuously and without interruption, that's that constancy again, is perfectly receptive to the Trinity who freely operates within it. And by this means, God establishes in the soul his full freedom and total dominion. God establishes in the soul his full freedom and total dominion. And that's footnote, the last footnote for today, 155. Oops, how big it is. Okay. And this is from volume 20, October 9th, 1926. It's entitled, The Kingdom of the Will of God is Like a New Creation. Pleasure of Jesus in Hearing One Speaks About His Will. I was doing my round in the Supreme Volition, according to my usual way, and my sweet Jesus showed me a globe of light within my interior. As I kept doing my acts in the divine fiat, it became larger, and the rays which came out of it became longer. And my always beloved Jesus told me, my daughter, the more often you go around in my will in order to repeat your acts, the larger the sphere of this globe of light becomes, and the more power of light it possesses, the more its rays can extend to illuminate the kingdom of the eternal fiat. Your acts fused, dissolved in my will form the special sun which must illuminate a kingdom so holy. This sun will possess the creative power. And let me stop there. Just like, for example, something like the creative power. Go in the back of Father's dissertation, and under creative power, you're going to find, I think, 24 or so passages that talk about, explain, and give examples of the creative power. Again, I had to mention that. The sun will possess the creative power, and in extending its rays, it will leave the mark of its sanctity, of goodness, of light, of beauty, and of divine likeness. Those who will let themselves be illuminated by its light will feel the power of a new continuous creation of joy, of contentments, of goods without end. This is something that we can experience right now. And if you think about it, this is so vitally necessary right now in the sphere of what's going on outside of the divine will, what's happening in the world today. Those who will let themselves be illuminated by this light, how do we allow ourselves? How do we let ourselves? Jesus explained to us, it's resignation. It's taking the first step. It's acknowledging we can't do this. It's acknowledging we need help, no matter how self-sufficient we think we are. Those who will let themselves be illuminated, those who will become docile. Humbled. By its light, we'll feel the power of a new continuous creation of joy. Who wouldn't want that right now? Who wouldn't want to feel the greatest joy that they've ever felt in their life? You know, we take a test on this. Choose one point of your life that you were probably the happiest or the most joyous, whatever it was. And then magnify that by a zillion and have it occur every second of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year. And that's not even an example adequate enough to explain what God's giving us. A new continuous creation of joy, of contentment. Who doesn't want to be content, to be happy with whatever we have, to feel blessed with whatever we have, not to think about what we don't have? Like we said in the beginning, we woke up today grateful to have awakened, both physically as well as spiritually. Well, physically, we know we woke up. We're here. Thanks be to God. And we're awakening spiritually. We're reading what Jesus wants us to read. We're chewing what Jesus wants us to chew on. We're hopefully swallowing and digesting what Jesus wants us to swallow and digest. We've been given this time. Many others have not been given this time. We've been given this gift, the opportunity to know of the gift. Many don't know the gift or don't want to know the gift for whatever reasons. God has already given us the greatest mystical gift, to be able to recognize the light, the small light. You mentioned light there. However we were introduced to the divine will, we saw that little light. That little light enlivened us enough so that we wanted to pursue it. We wanted to journey in it. Looking back, that's the greatest thing God has done for us, next to giving us life in of itself. So he gave us life in of itself, number one, greatest gift. Number two, he gave us the spiritual gift of being able to recognize this gift of the divine will as being the light of all lights. And three, he's giving us an opportunity to fuse and possess God, to be one with God again. Perfect unity, perfect harmony, perfect contentment, perfect happiness. Perfect joy, everything, beyond explanation, beyond comparison, beyond discussion. And it's not available next year or next month. It's available right now for all of us. Of goods without end. This keeps going up. God keeps giving. And when we think we've had enough or couldn't be given anything more, he gives us more. This is never ending. This is our job for eternity. And eternity is a real long time. Therefore, as my will dominates all the acts of those who live in it, the kingdom of my will be a continuous creation the creature will remain under a new continuous act of this supreme will, which will keep her so absorbed that there'll be no field of action for her own self. We're going to be so enamored by this, we're not going to want to go back to the way we were. Like that song, Never Going Back to Yesterday by Christina Langway. I'll play it next time. I'll play it on Thursday, Ready to Murder. Okay, to continue. And then we're getting short on time. This is why I love so much that the kingdom of my will be known, for the great good that the creatures will receive and for the free field of action it will have. The supreme will is now hindered by their own self. But when it will be known, its rays, vivifying, penetrating, and full of living light, will eclipse the human will, which will be dazzled by its refulgent light. And in seeing the great good it can receive, it will give freedom of action to my will, giving it total dominion. Therefore, in this kingdom of a new era, a new creation will begin for my will. It will put out everything it had established to give to the creatures, as if they had always done its will. After having to keep these things for so many centuries, as though in deposit within itself, to then release them for the good of the children of the kingdom. He's going to unleash everything. We're going to get grace and graces that Adam never got. Remember, Adam only was given a piece of it. Then he had to pass the test. And if he had passed the test, he was going to be given everything of the divine will. He never passed the test. So everything was being held on deposit, sort of on layaway. And God is now going to give us back everything that Adam had, which in of itself is more than we can even dream of. But he's going to go beyond that and give us all that Adam was not given, that he intended to give, but couldn't give because of Adam's infidelity. Just think about that for a moment. Do we have any problems in our world? Do we have any problems in our life right now, thinking about this divine will, thinking about what God is trying to do in us, hoping that we're going to accommodate him, hopefully resign ourselves to him? I struggle every day. I keep going back to the old me. But together we can do this, praying for one another. We can do this. Doing our acts and rounds, we can do this, not just for ourselves and not just for our families. It'll be done, but for all souls. It's true. God says, you do what I want and I'll do what you want. He knows what we want. He knows our intentions. And we don't have to do much to make those intentions come to fruition, because we're not doing anything really except resigning. Our secular job should be so easy, right? Resign from work, everything's done. It doesn't work like that in this world. After this, I continued to pray. But while I was praying, I saw that my highest good Jesus in a great hurry was coming out from the depth of my interior, pushing a bundle of light which was above him and kept him as though eclipsed under it, inside of me, preventing me from seeing him. So pushing it hurriedly, he came out and I said to him, my Jesus, why are you in such a hurry? Is it perhaps something that interests you very much? And Jesus says, certainly, my daughter, it is indeed the thing that interests me the most. You know, from within you, I heard the Father who took our writings with him. This is St. Hannibal. To speak about my will to those who surround him with so much love, and I felt wounded deep in my heart. So I wanted to come out of you in order to listen to him. Those are my own words, which I have spoken about my will, that resound to my hearing. I hear my own echo, and therefore I want to take all the pleasure in listening to him. And I want that you too take it as a reward for the sacrifices you have made. At that moment, I saw a ray of light coming out of Jesus, which extended so much as to reach the place where Reverend Father was. And investing him, it made him speak. And Jesus was all consoled in hearing the speaking about his adorable will. So when we read or listen to the volumes, Jesus says, not only is he there with us, but he's hearing himself. He's hearing the echo of his gift to us, which illuminates him even more. consoles him, as he says here. Well, Louisa says he was consoled. By doing what's good for us, look at what we're doing for God. We're giving God a piece of the glory, the honor, the adoration that we should have given him, that Adam should have given him, on the level due to him. And we're doing it now. God's not concerned that we didn't do it yesterday. He's not concerned if we're going to do it tomorrow. He wants us to do it today. Because to start that habit, for this to become habitual, we need to start today. And then remind ourselves tomorrow and the next day until it becomes a habit. Until it becomes our nature, our second nature. And then it'll be natural for us. There'll be no turning back then. That's just amazing. We're out of time. In fact, we're past time. I apologize for that. Another thing that, Father, if you want to read this from 4.1.11, God's efficacious grace and incomprehensibility is beautiful. I'll place that on the website as well. And I love this quote from this author, Horatio Dressler. It's called In Search of the Soul, the book. And he says, and this is so appropriate for us, quote, "We shall be deeply grateful that our life has been just what it has been since it has given our soul opportunity to develop," end quote. And this was a test we just did again on Radio Maria. Take the worst time of your life, what appeared to be the worst time or situation in your life, and then ask the question, if God's permissible will did not allow that to happen, would we be here today? And the answer is unequivocally no. Everything had to happen exactly the way it did for us to be here. We are deeply grateful that our life has been just what it has been, since it has given our soul opportunity to develop. Just like the virtues. Jesus says, we can't exercise the virtues without the situations that are commensurate to it. You know, leaving the church parking lot, we if it wasn't for that person that cuts us off in the parking lot, we can't exercise good temperament and charity and poise. How do we grow in virtues if we don't have tests constantly? So God gives us, his permissible will gives us plenty of tests. I know each and every one of us are not short of any tests to the virtues. So we're thankful for that. Upcoming Seneca, we've got one tomorrow, which will be live streamed into St. Helen's Church in Newberry, Ohio. This is an evening Seneca on Saturday for Father. It's a rare Seneca in the evening, but it's from 7 to 9 p.m. And it's going to be on the three appeals. It's going to be really good. I've seen the material. I'll distribute that this evening when I let you know that this has been uploaded. So that's Saturday evening from 7 to 9. Same way you connected today, same way you connect tomorrow. And then on Sunday, we have with us Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will coming to us live via live stream from Italy. And we'll journey with the Joyous Sisters and Mother once again. So it's, a Divine Will weekend. Every day is a Divine Will day. And even if there's nothing going on as far as Senegals are concerned, we just need to make sure it's a Divine Will day. And we all have that capability of doing so. So again, I want to thank Holy Trinity Divine Will Group in Ireland for letting me participate, join them. I was really blessed to join them on Thursday. Look forward to seeing them again. And again, anyone who has any questions or needs any assistance in using the dissertation for their Senegal, just let me know. You can buy the book on Father's website, the dissertation. You can buy the ebook. And if you can't do either of those two, send us an email and we'll get you a copy of the ebook for no charge. Because this needs to be known. Jesus says that by us and by others. He's counting on us. So we're going to pray to conclude, and we're going to pray that prayer that I don't have an author of, but I love it. Okay, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. From the center of the heart of God, let the entire earth, every person, every being be blessed with divine love and kindness. Let the entire earth, every person, and every being be blessed with divine sweetness, divine joy, with warmness, caringness, and tenderness. From the center of the heart of God, let the entire earth, every person, and every being be blessed with inner healing, inner beauty, divine bliss, and divine oneness. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God for everything. We are so truly blessed. And we're blessed to have each other. And we're going to need each other more than we've ever thought, I think, very soon. So let's really focus on our commonality and not our differences, because we have a lot more in common than we have in difference. Love everybody. I know I've been a little long-winded today. It's better with Maureen, right? I speak less. Okay, love everybody. See everyone tomorrow, hopefully, 7 p.m. The Holy Rosary and the Divine Will begins at 6:15, about 45 minutes, really.